Drop it.
Hey, bitches.
Hi, hunties.
Y'all ready for a kiki?
Shut the fuck up. I'm working in here.
All right.
This is a journey led by two super homos.
Adventuring through the dark, scary world of straightness.
Will we actually learn something?
Or just get gayer?
We are the Tri-Gays.
Touch the fashion, change your life. Touch the fashion, change your life.
I hate milk. I hate milk so much. Scene.
I loved milk in season 6.
Yeah, me too.
Hated her in All Stars 3. God, she was the worst.
Monster. She had become gamous. And
yeah, that's the problem.
And Scene.
Damn, does game change you?
Hi!
Take that deep breath, girl.
Beast!
God.
Hey, Beast.
Do we only talk in Drag Race?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Just before we were rolling, we were just repeating bad musical challenge moments, and then we were sad how quickly they got stuck in our brains.
I know, it's so weird. But you know what? I communicate Drag Race with tons of friends, and it's fun for me.
It's our sports.
Exactly, it's our sports.
And I think we have a healthy detachment from it, too, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Like, we're making fun of ourselves even while we're doing it.
100%.
As long as you don't think you're cool while you're referencing Drag Race.
Yeah, no, and let the record show, we are not cool.
We are not cool.
We are far from it.
But we know that.
We know that.
Which is cool.
We are pop culture, what are we? We're just like obsessed
freaks.
With pop. Like, we regurgitate pop culture constantly.
We're freaks
about
pop culture.
I think that's the magic of being gay. We talked about this before.
But this does go perfectly into this next little segment.
Blink, blink, blink.
That I like to call the safe space.
I like to call that too. We both agree that that's what it.
That's what we're gonna call it. Do you want to call
what do you
it
mean,
that?
I like to call it.
Call me by your name.
You
bitch.
Are a narcissist.
So we before the pod was rolling, I was like, we got to talk about divas. We got to talk about female pop artists. We got to talk about as queers, we love our female musical artists.
What is that? Why is that?
I mean, it's, you know, we were talking about it with PFT, if you've been listening.
Oh.
And.
Girl, I'm in the studio with you. What the hell is it with all that shade?
I'm just saying.
Damn.
I mean, we were talking.
I thought this was a safe space.
I didn't. I'm just saying, we were trying to figure out that thing, right? There's something about queer men and women and that symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, you were saying that.
We want to be them. We want, I don't know.
What?
Do you think we want to be them?
I don't.
You don't? You don't?
What do you mean we want to be them?
I think I'm oversimplifying it, but there's something about the power that women have. I mean, women are allowed to be, female pop stars are allowed to be their purest form on stage.
Okay.
I guess they get,
okay.
Or sometimes like they get to be the physical self and be celebrated in that physical self and being feminine and cunt and all that stuff. And
okay.
I think we really admire that as gay men.
Yes. I'm immediately like resisting that statement.
Sure.
Because I'm picturing people like Britney Spears.
Uh-huh.
Who is famously not someone who is being their authentic self on stage, right?
That's an interesting authentic. You don't think Britney's her authentic self on stage?
Well, I mean, like, what part of Britney Spears is authentic and what is it? I mean, wasn't part of her, like, emotional collapse because she was sort of,
I
like...
I agree with you that she has been, I mean, she's like a circus animal. And I that hurts me to say that, but I do think there's something authentic about her star power, her dancing ability, and her stage presence.
Sure, you can say that about a lot of people who aren't gay icons, though.
Sure, there are people who have tried to possess the star power Britney has, and it's never worked for them. Okay, for example, let's just talk about the difference between Britney
talking
and Christina.
Talking about Brooke Hogan?
I'm talking about Miss Lindsay Lohan. I'm
okay.
Just a little bossy.
She's really dragging the dolls today.
Well, let's talk about the difference between Britney and Christina, okay?
Girl, don't
so
do
Christina
it.
Has musical Zone prowess.
Not here.
Christina has a musical prowess, but she does not have the star. Like,
you know, wait a second. Why are we talking about this? You know I like Christina more than Britney.
Well, let's talk about their differences because, okay, look, Britney has a chokehold on the gays and Christina's like...
She does too.
Clutching at the throat of the gays.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. This is a very... No.
Okay, then can you tell me their differences?
I just think, okay, this is my issue with the Christina and the Britney debacle. when Madonna famously went on the VMAs to perform with Critney.
With
Christina and Britney.
Yes.
Everybody lost their minds when Madonna made out with Britney Spears.
Yes.
Nobody remembers that she also made out with Christina.
Yeah, Gator. Isn't that interesting?
No one cared. No one blinked. Everyone gasped. And then when she went to kiss Christina, people were like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Well, let's talk about charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, okay?
You think Christina don't have none of that?
I think Christina is team talent and Britney is team charisma.
Oof.
There's just something about Britney. There's something about Britney, and I think it's problematic. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's like perfect. It's probably because Britney looks just a little bit more like a little Barbie. Just a little bit more like the classic Barbie look that people go Britney over Christina.
Why do the gays love Britney more than Christina?
More dance. It's more dance. It's less singing and it's more dance. And Christina's more singing, less dance.
Yeah.
So
I think you're right.
I think that's the thing. They're both gay canon, though.
They're both gay canon. They're both
safe.
Gay dolls. Yes, absolutely. We're putting them in the dollhouse.
They're in the dollhouse.
Who
I
else
like
are we
this.
Putting in the dollhouse?
Just gut off the top of
off
my...
the dome. I know your girl.
Who's my girl?
Kylie.
Yeah, Kylie Minogue, and continues to fucking slay.
Why should she be in the dollhouse?
She's iconic. And unlike Madonna, she has not lost her touch with reality with age. Ooh. Like, she continued to deliver brand. She delivers puss. She's awesome. And she's cool. She's not obsessed with her fame in a way that Madonna is, which Madonna's a legend.
Okay,
but...
I'm holding on to the Madonna doll. Do we put her in there or not?
What do you think?
Okay, so this is Madame X Madonna. No, throw her out. I'm rummaging through.
Throw away.
I'm rummaging
American
through.
American Life.
I'm taking out the Human Nature Madonna. I'm putting her in the dollhouse.
Work.
I'm putting her in the dollhouse.
Work.
I'll even take the Ray of Light Madonna
Work.
Doll, and I'm putting her in there as well.
Confessions on a Dance Floor? Work. Come on, Oscar.
I didn't buy that doll.
Oscar.
I didn't buy that doll.
But do you not think that doll is deserving?
Sure.
Why do you hate? Why do you
hate? I just don't know. I just don't know that doll as much as you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's her last great
album.
Do
people know? I mean, I guess the gays really love Confessions. Okay.
People Live.
Give me your Confessions doll.
Here you go.
Okay. We're putting all three of those dolls in there.
So Madonna has eras, and her eras are iconic.
Yes.
80s, of course. I mean, 80s through early aughts.
Yeah.
She slayed. And then something happened.
But when did she become like a doll? When did she become a doll for the gays?
Early.
Was it like Lucky Star Madonna?
Or was it like Vogue? A virgin.
Like a virgin.
You could argue Vogue, really. I think Vogue.
That part. I think pre-Vogue, I think she was like...
She was still a pop star.
A pop star?
Yeah.
Many girls are pop stars.
And a sexy pop star. Sexy.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sexually liberating, absolutely.
Sure.
A fashion icon, absolutely.
Yeah.
Vogue is when she became a doll.
Yeah. That was huge. And I mean, yeah, you know, we've talked about this in the past, but like, we're torn because she is, you know, stealing a lot from queer POC culture.
I mean, that part.
She's also, she uplifted them a bit too, but we
that's
can't
like
forgive
saying,
it.
That's like saying, you know, Paris is burning. Paris is burning also.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible way to bring awareness to the ball culture made by a straight white woman.
Yeah.
Problematic.
Yeah.
Right? But then would Madonna have Vogue if not for Paris is Burning? Would people be talking about Vogue? Would Black and Latinx dancers be in the forefront of pop culture if not for Madonna's Vogue? And therefore, if not for Paris is Burning?
I think Paris is Burning is more important than Madonna's Vogue.
Interesting.
Because Madonna's a professional thief, period. Like, she's very good at stealing culture.
Yeah.
Like, she's very good at stealing culture.
Her and Gwen Stefani together.
Oh, fuck. Is Gwen Stefani in the dollhouse? That's hard.
That's a hard question.
That is hard, especially
hard
lately.
Question.
She is misbehaving.
Mrs. Blake Shelton is not part of the dollhouse.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No.
That era, no.
I'm just a girl.
But I'm saying, I'm saying, to her credit,
sure.
I think it's about damn time that Gwen Stefani co-opted white culture. I think it's about damn time. Marrying Blake Shelton. Yes.
Yeah. She needed to after she was done with the bindi. So once she was
done
with
the
that,
bindi, she was been done with the Harajuku dolls.
Oh yeah, she went to Tokyo.
She
and
went to Tokyo.
Cleaned up.
She went to East LA.
Yeah,
did that for a minute.
Oh God, she did do.
She
Chola.
Went to the hip hop circuit with Eve.
Yes. Oh,
girl,
fuck.
She went around the fucking world to come back home and steal from home.
I wonder if in 2023 we do have to kick out the dolls who stole culture.
That means Madonna's got to go too. Girl,
that's really hard.
I'm holding the dolls. Do they go back in the toy box?
Kick them out.
All the Madonna dolls. Okay.
Kick them out. I mean, Katy Perry's out.
Girl.
She was never in.
I never bought her.
She wasn't. I don't think they even made her as a doll.
No.
People
would disagree.
People would disagree. She's cute. She looks good. Megan Trainor. No.
Not a doll. I'm sorry.
Not a chance, honey.
No.
If you're waiting to be made a doll, you just know you'll be waiting for the rest of your life.
I mean, she thinks she is. She's trying to be.
She thinks she's trying to be mother.
She's giving me child.
Who else is in?
You know, okay, so like, you go with, you know, you and I have very, very, very different musical inspirations, right? You love the sort of like, the pop princesses of the early aughts. I go a little before that. I go, for me, the doll of all dolls, Grace Jones.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's like, to me, like, that is my diva.
That's a
my
good
gay
one.
Diva. And she's actually queer, too. Do you know what I mean? Like, I sort of resist a lot of the sort of, like, diva talk because it does feel a little weird that, like, queer people idolize heteronormativity in a way.
Yeah.
Or like performative gender binaries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there is something actually kind of really cool about people like Christina and Britney because they're weaponizing the thing that's been quote unquote holding them back. You know? In like a really powerful way that I think queer people really relate to. But still, like, I sort of bristle at the fact of like, I don't claim Britney, I don't claim even Christina as my diva. I claim someone like Grace Jones, who walked into the scene and people tried to shut her down many times, but she is such a powerful figure and her music is incredible and really about that shit. Do you know what I mean? That to me, it's like, oh, this is a political act. Her presence in the music industry is a political act. So that's why Grace Jones' doll is going in the dollhouse.
I love that. And you bring up a really interesting point of like how, like, quite frankly, popness and diva-ness has been tied to whiteness at times.
Period.
Right? Because we have, of course, like iconic divas like, I mean, Aretha.
Right.
We have our Diana Ross.
Absolutely.
I mean, and they are kind of seen differently, quite frankly, because they don't fit into the whiteness scope of pop culture.
Interesting.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I'll tack in generational, too.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
If this
was like 50 years ago, our dollhouse would look completely different.
What's your alt pick?
You know what my alt pick is.
Tell
my
me.
Actual, I mean, it's two. I have two big divas in my life. Mm-hmm. And this is related to a diva that we did not bring up. That's a huge doll.
Who?
My dolls are Grace Jones and Solange.
Oh, you love Solange.
Solange is my doll of dolls.
Sure. Which then brings up
Beyonce.
I'm sure the people listening are like, why are they not talking about Beyonce? Beyonce's a doll. You can't dispute it. It's indisputable. Why are you grinning at me like that? Why are you looking at me like Cheshire Cat?
I just want... Okay, hold on a second. Somebody literally said I grin like the Cheshire Cat, and I hated that. I'm like, what about when Reed's Cheshire Cat?
When you give me that long, quiet smile, it's Beyonce. We can't resist
I'm just
Beyonce.
Very curious. I'm very curious.
Beyonce's incredible. You know what's weird? It's like she is not my personal favorite, but she is an undeniable supernova of dancing, singing, looks. I mean, she's everything.
Yeah.
Why aren't we more obsessed with her?
Okay,
personally?
So like for me, it is, I'm torn. I'm just twofold, right? Uh-huh. Like to me, Beyonce is a doll, absolutely. As soon as Single Ladies came out, it's like, okay, you're in the doll territory.
Yes.
You fully cemented yourself as a doll.
Yes.
I'm putting Sasha Fierce in there.
Yes.
However,
yeah,
with this new album, Everybody Was Living, and the songs are good.
Mm-hmm. Here comes the butt. What's the butt?
To me, it felt a little pandery.
Interesting.
To me, it felt a little like gay music is hot right now. So I'm going to make a house album.
Hmm.
In a way that felt like, hmm. Do you know what I mean?
You know, people are, you were going to get, you're,
no, I know.
A
it's,
death
a very it's a very unpopular opinion.
It's unpopular.
And don't get me wrong, I like the album. I like the songs.
It's a good album.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
But to me, it felt a little like, oh, this doll is self-aware.
Well, I think Beyoncé is not just an artist. She's an economy. And I like, and maybe that's what you're feeling.
That's exactly what I'm feeling.
It's an economy. Even with, like, you know, obviously, like, the Renaissance tour is, like, it's almost a cult. Like,
absolutely.
And maybe there's something about, like, being sold. Like, it's like we're being sold it.
Right.
In a way that's like, everyone get your $2,000 tickets, because if you're not, you're not a part of the moment.
No, exactly.
I can actually agree with that.
It's giving, I'm really into voguing right now. That's what it's giving to me.
Is she a diva? No, is she a doll?
Not at all. Not at all. But you know what I mean? I'm torn. I'm torn because we have one of the most successful people on this planet.
Yes.
Who is a woman of color.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Who is a brand. Really transcends everything.
Yeah.
Transcends music. Like, she is literally an icon.
She's too big to fail.
Right.
And
anything
there's something
she does
about that that makes you feel uneasy.
But to me, it's like you were saying, it's the commodification of our group.
Well, that's kind of where we're at right now, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
It's like Beyoncé is an amazing artist, but she's also being funneled through a corporate machine.
And I'll say this much.
Uh-huh.
This is a very fun, silly podcast.
Yeah.
And this podcast is about the dying, just the dying form of heterosexuality.
Yeah.
Which I do think is true.
Yes.
I really do believe that heterosexuality as a concept is sort of withering away.
Rest in agony, bitch.
However,
mm-hmm.
At what cost?
Interesting.
Because queer culture is turning mainstream.
Right.
Which is great.
Yes.
But then isn't queer culture inherently counterculture?
Yes, queer culture, it will always be counterculture. But I think we still have room to grow. Literally, I thought drag was boring in 2020.
Mm.
And now I'm learning it is not boring to people.
Dragula? You started watching Dragula?
Oh my God. Apparently, drag is shocking to people.
Yeah.
I literally thought drag was losing its edge. But apparently, the radical right is doing me favors, making my life vogue and counterculture and weird and wacky in a way that I thought it was totally boring.
That's a good point.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if we're as mainstream as we perceive we are, but
That's true.
I think
there is privilege here, right? I live in a very gay city.
Yeah.
I know a lot of queer people.
Sure.
Like, I do live, there is a lot of privilege with my point of view.
Yeah, but I think you make a good point about the Beyoncé of it all.
Well, it's just like, It's very much the Harajuku girls of it all. It's giving like, okay, yeah, but this is ball culture. Like, however, on that same token, I'm playing devil's advocate today.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of queer culture is stolen from black culture.
Period.
Do you know what I mean?
Period.
So it is just like, am I taking from ballroom culture, which is black culture?
Period.
Or am I reclaiming it?
You're saying
that I don't know.
From Beyoncé's point of view.
From Beyoncé's point of view.
I actually think quite highly of Beyoncé, and I honestly think she's using her platform to uplift those voices. Because I guess, yes, she's making a millions in the process, but I do think because Beyoncé, people will buy anything Beyoncé sells, and it's not like she's selling shit. She's selling quality.
Absolutely.
I do believe there's a lot of passion in the people she collaborates with, like Big Frida.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the millions of people who were, like, lifted up even in the creation of Renaissance. Mm.
Grace Jones.
Yes. So I think there is some altruism there, and I think there is some uplifting and education through the funnel of one of the most popular women in the world.
I think ultimately it boils down to, I mean, everything is so commercialized now. You know, it's like hard to not talk about capitalism and sexuality, you know?
Yeah.
It's like very much
it's
that.
Ultra-capitalist.
The thing that I'm learning here on this podcast is like heterosexuality is tied to consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
And so is homosexuality.
Right. It's no secret that even when the big companies are excited to talk about pride, it's because we might help their bottom line.
That part.
When
exactly.
Bank of America says, hi, gay.
Right.
And turns
what
their
they mean
logo
to say
into a
is,
rainbow is,
give us money.
Yeah.
Right? And even all the backlash, you know what I mean? All the Dodger stuff or whatever. It is
upsetting.
Sort of like giving the, hey, straight homophobes, come over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about money. Money talks. And there's something really interesting about like that when it comes to artistry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the big thing for me. That's where I push back a lot. Like to me, and this is a very sort of like dumb take, but like Grace Jones is my diva because it doesn't seem like a lot of it was for money. It mm-hmm. seemed like very much like artist forward.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's a stupid thing to say because of course it is about money. She makes money.
She makes money from
her music. Solange too. I always think like, oh, Solange is about the music first, the artistry first. And she is. It's like, to me, she's an artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like there's money involved in that too. Another one of my dolls that I am putting in the dollhouse is Kate Bush, who is another one of my icons.
Yeah, iconic.
She seems a little like artist forward, right? But like,
Stevie Nicks? Is Stevie Nicks there?
Oh.
This is Thor. This is very
Thor. I'd put her in the dollhouse.
I kind of would.
I definitely put her in the dollhouse.
I see her and I think, yes, queen! I'm sorry, you were saying about Kate
Bush. No, but you know, it's just like, and maybe that's dumb for me to say, when I look at my dolls, and then I look at the other dolls in the dollhouse, and I'm like, oh, those dolls are about making money. My dolls are about making music.
Wow, she's really up her own ass, folks.
But that's wrong, and I know that that's wrong.
No, I hear it. It's part of your experience. As a queer person who's living in the shadow of like maybe the queer scene at large.
Absolutely.
You identify with the hardcore artists who aren't seen.
Well, I identify in the counterculture of queerness.
Yeah.
That's why I identify myself as a queer man.
Yeah.
It's more than just like, oh, I like people with my bits, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
It's more than that. It's a culture. It's a counterculture. It is a statement going against the grain.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm fascinated in. I don't ever want to assimilate in a heteronormative society.
Because that is the difference between us and just a gay white man.
That is, that's the difference between us and a Britney Spears fan.
Oh my God, we almost forgot Jessica Simpson. We almost forgot Jessica Simpson!
No. You know who we almost forgot?
Ashley. Who?
I was going to say Mandy Moore, but Ashley Simpson is way better.
Okay. Well, look, this was too safe. We got to go talk to our
straight
guest.
We got a little too comfortable here. Yeah. We got a job to do.
Okay, we'll come back. Mm-hmm. But first, a break. Wow.
That's gay excitement right there.
I'm so excited.
What? Why are you excited?
I'm excited because, I mean, we had a safe space just now, mm-hmm. which really made me feel very safe in my queerness.
Same.
But also right now we have a guest who, I mean, of our guests is, because we've been interviewing straight people. Ugh.
Oof.
And like this person's straight, but are they? Is the question that we know for a fact this person does not believe in labels.
They don't kiss and tell.
They don't kiss and tell. Mm-mm. This person believes in people being people.
Mm-hmm.
She knows her own power is more than just a sticker.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? She's no sticker.
She's no sticker.
She's not a jar. Don't label her.
Mm-hmm.
But.
You label jars?
Yeah. We love her, right?
We love her. We're obsessed with her. Are you kidding me? She is one of the eight people we love. And this is like, we're not even talking about labels, just one of the eight people we love.
Yes, one of the eight best people in this world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's Nicole Byer.
It's me. Oscar, I love that you said I don't kiss and tell. Truly, my whole career has been
kissing
and telling every nitty gritty detail.
That's true. That's what I love about you. You don't have secrets.
I really don't. Whenever people are like, "What is your deepest, darkest secret?" I was like, I don't know. I've told people publicly that I used to store chocolate in my underwear so it would melt. That should go with me to the grave.
Yeah.
But I've now repeated it on another podcast.
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry.
In your bra.
Oh, you have questions? No. No. This is in my youth. I was a child. I learned that I had chocolate in my pocket and it melted. And then I was like, what's warmer than a pocket? The front of
your
my underwear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your other pocket, yeah.
So I would put Hershey Kisses in my little panties.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where my mother was like, what is happening?
Oh, my God.
Because to her, she'd be like, is my daughter shitting from the front? Yeah. Is she not wiping?
Or what, shitting what so much.
That it's just
sliding up.
And that's like a level of fatness that most people have not unlocked.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
In that video game, you haven't unlocked that level?
No.
It's real.
I beat the game.
I love that for us. We recently had dinner, and like, you didn't need to tell me this, but like, we had dinner, and like, it was this yummy, like, dumpling place. And then, like, I was like, okay, let's take it home. And then, just because you don't like secrets, you were like, I'm going to eat this the second I get home. You know, I was like, it was like leftovers. And I was like, okay.
You were like, yummy for tomorrow. And I was like, I simply will eat this on my couch. Upon arrival, which I did. It was very tasty.
It was yummy. Maybe I'll take Oscar there tonight.
You
Ooh,
should.
Maybe. What
should.
Is this place?
It's really.
Let's
I don't,
plug
where
it.
Where is it? Yeah, plug
it's in
it.
Alhambra. It's this amazing place with like a mom and a grandmom, and they just make these amazing Szechuan beef, like meat pies. Mm. It's called Min Min Pie House.
It's Work. So good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's delicious. Mm. We're going to go eat meat pies?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's eat meat.
Well, we're here to learn about meat.
Let's eat meat.
But we're also here to learn about something straight. Isn't that right, Oscar?
That's true, because we don't know a single thing about being straight. And have
you heard about
strip clubs?
That's funny. I was going to talk about like straight women having their bachelorette at a drag show, but uh-huh. then it dawned on me, I don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I don't get it.
Have you ever attended a bachelorette party at a drag show?
No.
Yeah. Mm.
It seems, because it's like, it's about you getting married. So your goal is to interrupt a performance to talk about your good fortune?
Yeah.
Seems odd.
Very
Don't
confusing.
Get it. But yeah, strip clubs, which
strip clubs.
Isn't necessarily inherently straight.
No.
But I feel like when people think about it, it's mm-hmm. like a man going to like rock his socks off, kick his rocks.
Kick rocks.
Because kick rocks is
He's
bad.
He's going to die.
Get
what is it? Get his rocks off.
Get his rocks off.
For me, I have experience with strip clubs. When I was 16, I got a fake ID in high school because all of my friends were going to the local strip club named Honey's.
Okay.
And I was like, I want to fit in too. So I got a fake ID to go to Honey's, and this is where we used to hang out after school.
Mm. At the strip club?
At the strip club,
where
yes.
Where did you grow up?
In Queens, in New
York. Okay.
And it was like the saddest thing I've ever experienced. But tell me why I could get into a strip club, but I could not get into an R-rated movie with my fake ID.
Maybe they thought you were gay, and they were like, we'll ungay him.
Yeah.
Show him some tits during the day.
Okay.
Which, I can't think of anything gayer than watching tits in broad daylight. Like, I don't think I want that.
I have a strip club story, too.
Okay.
Because it also had the opposite effect on me.
Oh,
it just, so when funny. I saw this naked woman, I was like, oh, right. I have respect and reverence for this. And I don't think they liked that. Like, they didn't like it.
Like you saw a sculpture at a museum?
So my brother, 18th birthday, my brother was like, you can come to the strip club. I went with him to the strip club. I got a champagne room dance from a lady named CJ. She grinded her shit all over me. And I know it's customary to get a boner in that situation.
Yes.
Not customary.
It is tradition.
It is. I was trying to respect
it's
their customs.
It's written in the laws.
I was trying to respect their culture and
sure,
customs.
Of course.
And I didn't. And so, like, and she was showing me her, you know, her stuff. And I just,
you can't even say it. That's how gay
he is. It reinforced everything gay to me because I was like, oh, all I feel is peace and serenity. You know, I just, and I don't think they want that.
I do. So I went to Portland. I like strip clubs. The first time I went to one was on a Torco, a UCB touring company.
Yes.
Expedition to Kansas.
Yes.
And we were snowed in.
You went to a Kansas strip club.
It's called Baby Dolls in Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And I suggested it, of course. We all got lap dances. And one of the girls, her name was Belladonna. I will never forget these girls' names. Belladonna had tattoos going all up and down her, like barbed wire.
Oof,
and
yes.
She did a trick where she held a bar and slammed her pussy into one of the boys' faces. And I watched this man just shake his head at a pussy that he didn't know where it was before or where it was going after or what it had done seconds before it was in his face. And then he went and got a lap dance and came back. We all got lap dances from this one woman, Foxy.
Oh,
and
my,
Foxy
names.
Came and talked to us. Foxy was this beautiful black woman, just like chocolate. She could have been, I don't know, 21 or 62. who knows? She had a lot
we
of wisdom.
We can never know. Yes.
And she told us that there's three types of girls. Girls who work the pole, who work hard. Climb it, dance, do tricks, fall down, splits. Mm-hmm. Then there's a floor girl. That's the girl humping the floor. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, and then there's a face. And we were like, what are you, Foxy? And she's like, what the fuck do you think? Hopped on stage and didn't do a thing, and we gave her all our money.
It
was wild. And the way one of the boys was married and is a very respectful person to his wife. One of the boys was single. Mm. And the way this man acted as if all of these women might go home with him was so funny. Strip clubs are an illusion to straight men.
Mm. Yes, that's the trick, because that's their job. You fall in love with the stripper.
You fall in love. You keep coming back. You have one girl.
Yes.
And then these men get these like deluded egos that they can get a girl like that and mm-hmm. save her from stripping and she'll finish nursing school with me.
That is so narcissistic.
It's wild.
That's
and it
so
feeds
funny.
Into men's narcissism. And also female, like your Australian from Down Under, your Magic Mike's. Well, Magic Mike, I think, is a little bit more feminine.
You've
but
seen the Magic Mike show? Yes. Okay.
It's a little bit more for the woman's fantasy.
Yes.
But Thunder from Down Under is from a man going, this is what I think women think is sexy, and it's a dick slapping her face. And it's like, no, sir. Where's the storyline? Where's the foreplay? Where's the little build-up to it?
I just remembered me and you have seen a bride get picked up by a male stripper.
We sure did. This man was the antithesis of sexy.
Yes.
He brought in an empty Little Caesars box and said, anybody order a pizza?
And then he took 10 minutes because he couldn't find out how his music connected with
ladies,
the auxiliary cord.
Do you guys have an aux cord? I left my aux cord.
Yes.
And then picked up our friend who's getting married, had her like pussy around, that's I guess the move, had her pussy around his head, and then was like dancing with her, and then dropped her from like 6 feet. It was like,
by accident?
Yes. And
we heard a thud
on a marble floor.
Yes. And she just went, I'm okay. One of the girls was trying to escape him by screaming, I have a bad back. And he was like, commute. And then at one point he was like, ladies, I'm thirsty. Do you guys have Diet Coke?
Oh, yeah. He wanted juice.
Oh, yeah. Juice,
because
Diet
he
Coke,
was like,
anything.
He was like sweating. And he was like, I need juice to like get my stuff back.
It was fully wild.
What was this man's name?
Levi. I'll never forget. I followed him on Instagram for a very long time.
What was his content?
His content was pretty bad. It was just him at Planet Fitness with his sun tattoo around his belly button.
Oh, yeah.
And then sometimes he would post his children. I think he was fighting for custody. I know too much about this man. And then he stopped posting.
Oh, wow.
I was a little bummed about it.
No, Levi.
Levi.
Yeah. Post content, Levi.
Girl with bad back. Shout out to girl with bad back. Because afterward he texted and said, can I have the number of girl with bad back?
You're kidding.
Not at all.
To do what?
I don't know.
Chase her around some more while she crawled away screaming, I have a bad back. It was almost as if we invited a predator to our Palm Springs yes. retreat just for a couple hours.
And then remember, he like didn't want to touch me. Like,
yes.
So none of the girls
Mono
wanted dances.
Was one of, I got a dance, and then Mono was the only other person who was like, yes. Yes. And he was like, ooh, okay, okay. And then just like awkwardly grinded in front of
like, him. Like no. touching me the way that you touch like a dog who's covered in shit.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, I don't want this. I'm, oh God, it was
it
so
was
humiliating.
So wild.
He literally said no homo.
He said no
yeah,
homo.
Yeah, he said yeah. no homo, yeah. but give me a bad back. It, yeah, strip clubs and like strippers and house parties, it's all geared towards the male fantasy of the straight male fantasy mm-hmm. of I can have anything I want.
Mm.
And then I think they forget they're paying for a service. They're paying for this girl to talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This girl has no interest in you outside of it. Mm-hmm. If you ran into each other at the grocery store, she would push your shopping cart the other way or say hello and be kind so you spend more money the next time you see her.
But I think that feeds to That's the ego of the straight male because they're thinking, but I'm different.
Yes.
Right? I'm not like the other people.
This
I'm
is so
built
interesting.
Different.
Yes. Because right? then my question was, so. Why doesn't it exist the opposite way? But it's like, oh, women are too smart.
Yes.
Like women couldn't go watch a strip show,
mm-hmm.
but there's no strip club where women believe or even want this strange, dirty man to fall in love with them.
Yeah, I can't even imagine going to like Dick Hut and like sitting there and watching a man flop his dick around. And then I'm like, oh my God, what's on your mind? I don't care.
Yeah.
What's on? I don't want to listen to you talk.
Dick Hut.
Dick's Dick Hut.
Hey.
Open for business.
No one out dicks the Hut.
Ooh, that got me good.
Fuck. Okay, but you like strip clubs.
I do like a strip club because I will talk to the girls like a normal human being.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I've been caught in conversations where I'm like, oh, no, there's not a thought in your head. And you really want to talk to me. I was in Miami. The picture is a bunch of boys that I know and love with fat asses jiggling in their faces, dead eyes, just sprinkling money, just like in the zone. And then me and this girl in the corner, and she's like, how do I get into acting? And I'm like,
no!
Oh, dear.
And then every couple minutes, I'd like hand her money because this is her job. And she didn't have to do shit. And I was like giving her tricks and tips.
You were paying her for her to get
me.
You.
But I was like, this is her job. She doesn't really feel like dancing, but this, like, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a time in Portland where it was like a slow night. Mm. It was me and a couple of my friends. And I'm used to a static pull in a strip club. Mm. I pull dance a little. I'm
That's
yes.
right.
I love it.
You're not sure very does. Bad at it, girl.
Thank you.
I've,
yeah,
seen,
you are.
I've seen the vids.
You're great.
Thank you. She's trying. She's learning. But there was a spin pull there. And I went, oh, it's a spin pull. And she was like, oh, you know about pull? And like she's literally hanging upside down being like, you know about pull. And I was like, I do. I do it a little bit. And she was like, oh, okay. And I was like, what I really love is a outside leg hang and then an inside leg hang and you kind of tumble down. And she was like, I don't know the terms. I just kind of do stuff. Mm. And I was like, okay, well, it's one leg that way, one leg that way, and you're upside down and you tumble down. And she went, okay, I'll try it. And then I just kept asking her to try stuff. And then
Not
like
you coaching her.
Gave her money as she did it. And then she thanked me after and was like, that was really nice. Thanks for coming in.
Nicole, I think the transaction should be the other way. She
right.
should be paying you. For
well,
lessons.
No, I came to their business. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go to McDonald's and ask for it my way. Not Burger King. I'm going to McDonald's to ask for it my way.
No, this is as if you went to McDonald's and then told them,
and
no, now use the grill.
Said, yeah.
Use the grill. Don't use the floor. Use the grill. And they went, oh, now get bread.
Don't cook with the floor.
Yeah.
The floor can't turn on. I guess. I don't know. I just, but also here's another thing that men, the weirdest thing about straight men is they don't think they have to tip.
Mm.
The whole thing is you come to a bar. The bar has entertainment. Mm-hmm. The entertainment, literally, people with like the other dancers will put money on the ground to be like, this is what we do here.
Yeah.
And then straight men will sit there and be like, I fucking love her. Give her money.
Yeah.
She don't love you. Give her money.
She doesn't love you.
Money. Yeah. Money is the currency in a strip club.
Mm.
That is an unfortunate trend where it's like, oh, it's cool. I'm not in front of the stage. I can just kind of hang out. And it's like, no.
No, you have to tip $1 per girl, and that's the minimum.
Yeah, that's the minimum.
So if you don't have an extra $50 to spend that night, go to a regular bar without a stripper.
Yes.
Right. That's all.
It's the entitlement it's giving.
Yes. And I think strip club culture for straight men is just entitlement.
Mm.
I'm different. Mm. They're going to love me. I buy her drinks all night. And it's like, are you actually buying her drinks?
Yeah.
Or is she drinking water, pretending to get drunk?
So then why is it like, it's so interesting to me because like you and a lot of our friends are women who like really support strip clubs and really support just like the art of femininity.
Mm-hmm.
How is that for you? Like, talk to me about that.
I mean, I love it. I think sex work is real work.
Mm.
Stripping, full service sex work, any sort of sex work. And I think it should be decriminalized or whatever sex workers want.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's decriminalized. I think when it's illegal, it like weird shit happens. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. There's tax issues.
Yeah. And, you know, government, whatever. But I really love watching an athlete. Like they're just, it's like adult gymnastics, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's incredible to watch these women do insane things.
Absolutely. Also, pole dancing, as you know, is
hard. It is one of the hardest things you will do.
Yeah.
And whenever people like comment on my post or like strong pole, I'm like, put on a weighted suit to get to over 250 pounds.
Yeah.
And then try to go up a pole. And then tell me about a strong pole.
Yeah.
Strong you? I don't think so. But yeah, those girls, they're strong. And then the girls who are not strong have a different talent. You give them money anyway because they're like beautiful and they're sexy and sultry. And I envy sexy and sultry. Mm. I'm not sexy and sultry.
Mm-hmm.
And I am okay with that. That's just not my lane.
Mm.
I gotta stay in my lane.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can't even imagine being like, hey.
I'm sorry, say that. Well, come again and say that.
We want to hear it again.
Hey. Hold on. I was thinking of sucking your dick.
Oh, wait. Turn us on. Turn us on. Turn me and Oscar on.
Oh, my God.
Get us so hard.
So, Oscar, I was thinking of sucking your dick tonight. And Mono, I was thinking of licking your balls.
That's what's up.
And maybe pulling on them and stuff. And licking your taint.
Yeah, that's
and,
what's up.
And letting you fuck me good. I don't know. Like, I don't get it.
All right, Mono, you turn us on. Go ahead.
Okay. Straight or gay? What am I? Because I don't think I'm sexy either, but I'm going to try. Here we go.
You're working at a club.
Yeah,
turn
us
on.
How you doing?
I mean, I don't know. I like it.
Fuck.
Don't take much from me.
You were sold.
I'm sold. If I was crossing the street and a man said hello, I'd be like, well, that's my husband.
Okay, Oscar, you turn us on.
That's not fair. You just said hello.
Okay, I'll say one more thing. You look so good.
Oh. I'm here for it.
Okay.
Ahem.
Hey. Sorry, I just want to say that I think you're absolutely beautiful.
Oh my God, what the fuck is this?
And, you know, I've been working here a lot and I've seen a lot of women, but there's something about you. I just can I take you out after this? Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah,
where are we gonna go?
Anywhere.
Oh my God,
anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
I'll take the money that I've earned today and then we can do something. We can do anything.
The register of your voice, where did that come from?
What do you mean? No, this
is how
I talk.
Look, it's so deep and beautiful.
Okay. Yeah, cool. No, because you just saw me dancing, so I haven't spoken to you yet. So, yeah, let's talk.
I would like that very much.
Hey, bitch.
What's up? You want to fuck?
Okay.
What is the female equivalent of that?
Well, that's
what's not, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, so I saw you dancing, flopping your dick, and I was just like, what if that dick was near me?
But you know what? That shows power. And, like, I think a woman with a lower register, I'm already like, ooh, that's a power. That's powerful.
Okay, so this is what's interesting about strip clubs, right? Because it's like women pretend to have less power than they do so that they can gain power over men.
Yes.
They pretend to be less intelligent and maybe, like, yeah, just, like, charmed by nothing.
Yeah.
So they're buying into the sort of
the power,
like, gender dynamic.
To get power over men.
It's also convoluted, too, because it's like they're playing with the power structure, but then there's a power structure over them.
Yes.
Because some girls end up in the hole before they even start the night because they have to pay out the club, pay out the DJ, pay out the
bouncer. I'm sorry, wait, explain that to me. I don't know this.
So, you know, when you're like waiting tables and you have to tip out your busboy?
Right.
So a lot of strippers have to tip the house. So you pay the house like $50, and this, I don't know the actual numbers. I'm just throwing them out there.
So you can perform at the...
Yes. So you tip the house, you tip the DJ, you tip the bouncer. So before you've started the night, you have already tipped out like $200 or something like
that.
Why
isn't the
bar doing that? So then it's like you keep everything over that, kind of.
Yes, because they can. And then I think that's why, I think it's Star Gardens in North Hollywood, they unionized.
Ooh, yes. Work.
And I think they're actually like union now. I think they won. But
what?
That's like one of the reasons why. And then like clubs will punish you and take you off the schedule, like willy-nilly, because they don't like you this week.
So there's like politics involved to this.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Yes.
So aside from, I'm sure you like auditioned to be a dancer there, but then on top of that, you have to pay the bar, the bouncer, the DJ?
Yeah.
To just press play on a record?
Uh-huh. And then also clubs are like ableist and fatphobic.
Of course.
Won't hire girls that look different.
Yes.
Strip culture is very, very interesting because it's like they're feeding into the male gaze.
Absolutely.
But men are into all different types
that
of things.
That part.
So it's like instead of curating this like a playboy, maybe your club would make more money if you did have some alt girls.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I was at Jumbo's once, and I asked, I was like, are there any plus-size girls? And one girl was like, she's not, like, plus-size, but she's, like, thicker than the rest of us, but she's got a bad attitude. And, and then she was one of the funniest girls I've ever met.
Not the overshare.
Yeah.
So funny.
You were like, oh, I love...
I was like, she does have a pretty bad attitude. But I like it.
Wait, that's so interesting, because another episode, we were talking about, like, our connection with sexuality and our bodies and the bodies we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And how sometimes we like bodies that are atypical. Based on what we've been sold as a sexy body, but sometimes not always being like reflecting that kindness towards us.
Well, the thing is, like, it's about the option, right? I think because sexuality is marketed as back to capitalism.
Yeah.
It's marketed in a very specific way of like, you are hot because you are blonde, have big tits, a big ass, and
so
you're like.
So, whiteness too.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But then there's the lack of options as well, right? So if you have these alt girls, some of the clientele might be like, I didn't know I was into this. What a fun thing, right? It's like watching like OnlyFans or amateur porn where you're like, oh, wait a second. Now I'm seeing like people being sexy that are more closer to my body type. Or like, oh, a body type that I didn't think I was into, but now I'm fully into, right? So again, it's giving that option, but some strip clubs don't even give you any option.
No, they'll give you like a bunch of white girls, one black girl, one alt girl.
Yeah. Damn.
Or like one Asian girl. And you're just like,
yeah.
But niche porn, people make money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
So why not do like an alt night or like, or you don't even have to do a night. You could just have
feature.
Them. Just have them.
Tons of girls.
Yes.
So feature all kinds of girls.
Yes. I interviewed on Why Won't You Date Me a stripper named Vanity. She's a plus size stripper who does like parties and stuff. Mm. And her Instagram is wild. I'm like, she's having the best time.
Yeah.
And these people are satisfied.
Yeah,
it's great.
There's a market for anybody, but again, it's being told that this is what beauty is. This is what sexuality is. That's like really frustrating.
Yeah. And I think straight men, it's like a direct pipeline from like playboys that they hid under their beds.
Yes.
Into the real world.
Absolutely.
Where like that's all they're looking for. And it's like, well, people don't look like that all the time.
Yeah.
Those people from 20 years ago that you were looking at don't look like that now.
And most importantly, they're not into you.
Yeah. They don't want you.
Yeah.
The Playmate of the Year does not want you. No, she wants a man who's maybe, or a woman, or some, not you.
It's so funny, like, just this conversation is reminding me, like, the tyranny of blondes. Yep. Just, like, you can't even think about sexuality in the past 100 years without thinking blondes.
That part.
Yeah.
Which is code for white.
Yeah.
White, yes, is sexy.
I mean,
white,
you look at Playboy magazine and, like, you look at, what is that reality TV show where all the girls are living in Hugh Hefner's house?
The Girls Next Door.
The Girls, yes, Next Door. Mm-hmm. And they all look exactly the same. And there's, yes, one brunette. And, yes, she's sort of ostracized, she's, from, yeah, the group.
She's the minority hire.
She's a diversity hire?
She's diversity.
LOL.
Yeah. She's like a quarter Polish or something.
But you're right.
Yeah.
Hugh Hefner said, I need three of the same.
Yeah.
White and blonde.
Yeah.
Nothing else, please.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have a brunette.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to fuck her.
No, thank you. She could stay in the broom closet like a little Harry Potter.
Wow, we could talk to you forever.
I know, I know.
Oh my God, Nicole, I guess we want to ask you, what's your favorite part about gay culture?
Oh my God.
Yeah, what do you like,
yeah,
about,
yeah, what's
gay?
The best part of gay culture? Or queer culture?
You're having a hard time. Nicole's having a hard time.
There's nothing. Nicole is saying there's nothing.
There's nothing.
This is where I come out where I'm like, I'm a bigot.
Yeah,
I actually don't like queers.
Yeah, here to wrangle us up, convert us.
I don't know if there's any singular one part that I think is the best.
Mm-hmm.
I love self-expression. Mm. I love when queerness is actually inclusive, because sometimes it's not, and sometimes there are gatekeepers. Mm. I love Black trans joy.
Mm.
Like, so I used to live at 146 and Broadway in New York, and there was a McDonald's there, and people referred to it as the T-slur McDonald's, because the girls after working would go,
yeah,
gather there, talk about how much money they made, and like just the joy. Like, they were joyful, they were joking around, and then I would just be very drunk and be like, I'm here before I change from breakfast to lunch. Or no, from dinner to breakfast.
Yes.
And I would talk to them, and we would have such a nice time, and like the joy that they radiated, I was like, I love that.
Mm, yes.
You know, and I do wish there was more opportunities for Black trans women to make money on their own accord, if you will.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that a lot of them are not forced into sex work, but they end up doing it because it's like, what, you can't walk into a corporate place and get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish the world was more tolerant of how joyful queer people can be, and how necessary, and how they've been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is nothing new, and it's nothing to be scared of. It doesn't threaten your state of who you are. If anything, it might open your eyes and you might be into something else, and that is okay. It is okay to not be part of the norm. It's okay. It's okay to also just be a stoic straight man who's just like, I like everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I accept everybody.
Mm.
And your shit doesn't affect me, so I'm okay with it.
I love what you're saying. I just want to echo, like, the Black trans joy. As someone who, like, is not Black and is not trans, I have also been, like, when you're welcomed into spaces by Black trans people, it is, like, it's a joy like nothing else, because, frankly, they have to create their own joy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something so pure. Obviously, it's like, we need to save Black trans lives. But it's also so beautiful, because you learn from people who have been excluded from everything.
Yes.
That you can create your own joy, you can love yourself, and you can love others
and
in a way.
Celebrate other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is something so many people are missing out on, even experiencing, even witnessing.
Mm-hmm. Which is wild.
Yeah.
It's wild.
And I'll also say this much, Nicole. I think you bring us so much joy, and I think I'm not the only one saying this, but you bring a lot of queer joy too, because you are very inclusive and you celebrate your life authentically, you know.
Thank
and I think
you.
Like, there's something so beautiful and pure about your existence that gives queer people life, you know.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I'm not the first, and definitely won't be the last person to say that, you know. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm like, I still pinch myself sometimes, and I'm like, I'm friends with Nicole Byer. I literally was talking about this the other day, where I'm like, I just feel so honored that we're like friends, you know.
I'm honored to be friends with you.
I love you so
I'm
much.
I'm honored to be friends with both of you.
Thank you.
I love and adore both of you so much. Oh. I think you're both, aside from being funny, are like good, nice people where like I could have a normal conversation with you and not have to be like, when will the bit stop?
Yes.
When can we just be ourselves?
Talk, yeah.
When? Yeah, I just want to echo the joy you bring people. It's so Absolutely. Lovely. And the way you're obviously, you're just, yeah, you bring so many people joy. You make so many queer people feel seen. Mm. And I said this before, I'm going to say it again, because for Nicole Byer, life is drag. Like,
period.
Period. Like, you don't take anything in the world seriously. Mm-hmm. And it reminds all of us to be like, yeah, my life is drag. Yeah.
It is. And I think it's fun to dress up. I'm wearing a purple sweatshirt. I got purple nails. I have a purple phone case. The lady downstairs was roasting me about it. You know, this hairpiece is from Amazon. It was $8.99. I'm having a nice time.
The honesty we're looking for with Nicole Byer.
Refreshing.
Secrets.
No secrets.
No secrets. No secrets shall pass. Well, we love you.
We love you
so much. Where can people find you on the internet and what are some things you want to plug?
Oh, I'll be in Denver. I don't know the dates, but if you go to my link tree on my Instagram, it'll tell you. Mm-hmm. And then I have some dates in the fall. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my Instagram's at Nicole Byer. My Twitter's at Nicole Byer, but like Twitter's a hellscape. Mm-hmm. I don't have a TikTok, but I kind of do. I don't post. It's Nicole Byer as well. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what to post. Do you know? It's like, what do I talk to my camera and go, "Ack, we're all dying."
Yeah.
Like, what?
People would live for that.
If you do that every day.
Day 62 of we're going to die.
I mean, I'd be sharing and reposting.
Okay, follow Nicole as if you aren't already.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
The Try Gaze is hosted by Manu Agapian and Oscar Montoya.
Our producers are Cassie Jerkins and Judith Cargbo.
Our production coordinator is Abby Aguilar, and our audio engineer is Alex Gonzalez. This is an Earwolf Presents production.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you made it all the way to the end, you're a beautiful person. If you're not hearing this voice, go to hell. Earwolf Presents is produced by Earwolf, Amelia Chapelo, and Cody Fisher. And of course, podcast daddy Colin Anderson himself. The Earwolf Presents series is hosted by the one and only myself, Jacquise Neal. And our theme music was engineered and sung by the amazing Jordan Duffy. Special thanks and shout outs to Jeff Gross and Aaron Nestor. And for more information on Earwolf Presents, visit earwolf.com and follow us at Earwolf on all social platforms.